Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy. What is the nexus? What ties them all together? The earlier portion of the broadcast, we're talking about what is taking place across America with people hiding under in the closet, hiding under their beds, as William Barr called it, the Attorney General, said the people are expected to hide under their beds, et cetera, et cetera. That's bad enough for business. That's bad enough for society in general. But when it comes to the rules and regulations being made by governors and by some of the mayors that want to put that in place and want you to believe that's law, listen, a guideline is not a law. Rule and regulation is not a law. An executive order is not LAW. It's not been passed by the legislature. And we happen to still have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government and not by dictatorship fiat orders that we're supposed to accept and take, especially when it comes to closing the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge every pastor out there listening. If you're listening, pick up your telephone, dial 831-0917. Tell me why you shouldn't preach in your pulpit. Tell me why you should close the church doors. What is the rationale behind saying that our Constitution has just been eviscerated, evacuated, voided, and that you no longer have a constitutional right to stand and preach? My position is that we need to preach until Jesus comes. We need to stand on truth and defend the truth, even to death, is the position that we ought to take. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how recently on Facebook, in fact, as recent as today, where Facebook had an article and it had a pretty good string of responses by people where a constitutional attorney, he calls himself a constitutional attorney right here in the state of Florida. He's a Christian, but he's made himself now a kitchen theologian, and he's wanting to become a theological mind and tell us what the scripture says theologically and doctrinally, that churches should obey that and simply Christians should be obedient to that. And because after all, it's the law. We've just gotten through looking at Romans chapter 13. The key overview of it is that God gives us government, and government is a servant, a slave to God. And God has the responsibility, and government has the responsibility of obeying the higher power, which is God first, and then carrying out the work of protecting the good and prosecuting the evil, which is the basic synoptic overview that I give of Romans chapter 13 in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the scripture says we need to place our trust in God. Psalm 71:1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." And ladies and gentlemen, we're going around in a confused state today all across America as a result of what's taking place with our government based on the coronavirus. The coronavirus is being weaponized. It's being weaponized. It's designed. What they're doing today is using it to close the churches, using it to close business, using it to destroy President Trump's opportunity to be reelected. It's being weaponized by Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxist Democrats on the left to be able to bring about a total new world order, which is what they've been pushing for some time now, socialist Marxist form of government. But ladies and gentlemen, the only authority we find that we should be subservient to in the sense that we find in Romans 17 is the authority that God has placed, and God is the one that is the sovereign, and under that he's given us government. And why is that so? Because there's no authority, no power, but God himself. The lower powers, that is government, is ordained, authorized, appointed of God. But ladies and gentlemen, this does not say that the government has the authority to close or shut down our churches. Not at all. Not so. Not at all. We must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we are to honor, reverence, and obey God. If any rule or regulation or what would be called a rule of law, as some would call it, if any of that were to come about, ladies and gentlemen, that is anyway against the Word of God, against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to say, as Peter did in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 29, where he said he had been beaten, told he couldn't get out on the street corner and preach. He had been thrown in jail. The next day they released him and said, "Now you go out and be a good boy. Don't you talk about Jesus at all, or we're going to put you back in jail." What did he do? Did he hide under the closet? Did he go under the bed? No. He went out and continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they chided him again and beat him again. Haven't we told you not to do that? He said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And that statement, ladies and gentlemen, is not to be taken out of context and to say that we're to disobey government and to in any way say that government has no authority in the world in which we're living. That is simply not the case. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, our Bill of Rights still stands. God set us free by our founding fathers codifying it in our document called the Constitution. It codified our natural laws and the laws of God into that which is called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But today, ladies and gentlemen, because of the coronavirus, we violated the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, the Fourteenth Amendment. We've literally violated them, eviscerated them, cast them aside, and counted them as naught. We simply cannot do that. They've been nullified by some of these governors and some of these mayors across America on the basis that they must protect us because we haven't got sense enough to know how to protect ourselves. Tell me in your lifetime. Tell me in the history of America. When have we seen government shut down the total economy? You must ask the question, why was this done? Because Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, at the behest of Bill Gates, gave the fallacious number that in America, 2.2 million people were going to die. You've heard me say for days and days and days and weeks now on this broadcast that those were fallacious, fictitious, phony, false, fabricated, fiat numbers that had no foundation in truth or fact whatsoever. It's taking what is called a data set, D-A-T-A-S-E-T. You put that data set, that is a set of projected numbers into your system, into your computer, project it then based on that data set as to how many people are going to get sick, how many people are going to die, how many people are going to need ventilators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was done. As a result of that, we had the major panic hysteria across America because we were told we didn't have enough ventilators. In fact, in Washington State and in New York State, they started making the determination on who could live and who could die to institute the plan and the procedure and the protocol in the emergency rooms that if you're over 85 or over 90, that they would just simply not try to resuscitate you. In the state of New York, every death that took place in the past month, they've listed as the COVID-19 death. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of New York, nobody's died with a heart attack. Nobody's died with regular pneumonia. No one has died because of any other ailment or illness or disease or anything. All that have died in New York State in the past 3 weeks now in particular been as a result of COVID-19, according to their records. In fact, a memo went out from CDC, 7-page memo to all of the physicians on a national level, one that happens to be now a United States congressman, read that on the news in an interview where all of the doctors were told to list everyone as dying from COVID-19, and therefore it would promulgate greater and greater federal dollars into your city, into your state, and produce greater benefits financially for your city and state. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what has taken place. This is the reason right now with 5 governors up in the New England states, Northeast, they've now gathered together and they're setting up their own coalition to demand the federal government reimburse them $500 billion. What we're watching is the weaponizing of the coronavirus in order to have these left-wing, loose-likes-lost liberals in the Northeast and on the left coast, the land of fruits and nuts out in California and Oregon and Washington State, they're simply fixing their budget. They're trying to replenish their budgets. They were already in deficit, bankrupt condition. They're using this, weaponizing the coronavirus to get those dollars. You think about all of the hospitals that were set up in an emergency basis, what I call the pop-up tent hospitals. Most of them, 99.999% of them, were never used. A comfort ship and mercy ship were never used. One of them in San Francisco had 20 patients out of 1,000 beds. The one in New York out of 1,000 beds, I think they had 3 patients that went into it. Samaritan's Purse set up a hospital, pop-up hospital, I think would see a bed some 800 or 1,000 people. The most they had in it was, I think it was 13 people. They simply scream wolf, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, and weaponizing the coronavirus in order to take total dominating dictatorial control of America, including our churches. And ladies and gentlemen, it's frightening to me, saddened to me, and absolutely beyond the pale to find churches that have simply closed the doors and bowed and said that we're going to come back and we're going to open when the government says that we can open up. What if the government says that it's going to be another 60 days? What if it is like Dr. Fauci is now saying that we need to go another 10 weeks? What if it says Bill Gates' statement saying that we need to have this shut down for 18 months? Are churches going to obey that? When do we come out of the closet? When do we come out from under the bed and say we need to obey God rather than man? When do we as Christian leaders take the position that God said it, that settles it, we're going to be obedient to it, and Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof? Ladies and gentlemen, we find that that First Amendment that was placed there by our founding fathers and the founding documents as a result of their loyalty to God, their recognition of God's word, their realization that Romans chapter 13 does not take away God's sovereign power, God's sovereign purpose, that God is in control and that government is to be subservient and a slave, a doulos servant unto God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see pastors arrested across America, when governors and mayors have assumed unto themselves authority and powers beyond the constitutional authority, when we have those governors like in New York threatening to close churches and synagogues permanently, when we find them taking the position that guns and ammo sales and shops need to be closed, and when 32 police officers will confront a group of parents having a party for a one-year-old child, a birthday party, when we're told that the nation would need some 50,000 more hospital beds, when CDC and the World Health Organization said we did not need to wear protective face masks, and now they say that we do, where some people are being fined $1,000 in Laredo, Texas for not wearing a mask out in public, where we find the churches now, some are having tickets written, $500 tickets and up to 90 days in jail for simply sitting in your car listening to a preacher from his church preach on a bullhorn. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we have major problems in America, and it's all being, the coronavirus is being weaponized. In Washington State, a pastor and his technical staff were under a limit of having no more than 10 in the church. In Greenville, Mississippi, a pastor and his wife each are being fined $500 for participating in a mass gathering. Tampa, Florida, where a pastor was not only fined and a ticket written, but was arrested and taken downtown for jail. And I could go on and on and on with a list that is absolutely lengthy of what is taking place today as a result of the coronavirus, and then finding those that will say that we need to submit and surrender and close our churches and close the church doors as a result of it. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says restrictions on liberty becomes the new normal in America. Restrictions on liberty becoming the new normal in America? Since when? Have we canceled our Constitution? Have we destroyed our Bill of Rights? Do we simply bow and bend and say nothing? I believe that we need to take a stand, ladies and gentlemen. And I said to my wife just this morning, or last evening, I think it's time we had thousands and thousands of pastors across America that will simply say on a certain date, we're going to open all of our churches. I think that it's necessary today, even at this point, ladies and gentlemen, for our pastors in Jacksonville, our pastors in this entire area, to say this Sunday, we're having church. They don't have enough jail cells for us. We're having church. We're going to obey God and not government. We need to carry out the proper hygiene. We need to carry out the CDC restrictions to make sure that we do not transmit it or some way we protect our church membership. But it's time that we take a stand and say you can't cancel our Bill of Rights. Here's an article that says, can the government close churches in response to the epidemic? Here's another statement. I said earlier about talked earlier about it. William Barr, we've had to jawbone with local governmental officials to protect religious rights and liberties. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
You know, this edition of the past few days, particularly with officers going into at least one parking lot in a Kentucky church and putting notices on folks' windshields, their tag numbers have been taken, and they may follow up with prosecutorial efforts or fining efforts. I'd have to say to those officers, shame on you. To the police chiefs, to the sheriffs, to the captains, to the lieutenants that handed out orders to go and do such ridiculous stuff, shame on you. Folks,
well, they violated their oath of office. They swear to uphold the Constitution for the United States of America and for their states.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I suppose it blows my mind because we have such an ignorant population. that ignorant population is by design. Literally, for 100 years, especially in our public schools, our public colleges, our public universities, they have intentionally dumbed down a culture. We're not, for the most part, teaching what the Constitution is, what the Bill of Rights is, where they came from, and why they're there. I mean, I think about, you know, Benjamin Franklin, all the way back at the Constitutional Convention, he was pretty well a secular. Some tagged him as he's the one that first called that convention to prayer. And every day, he wanted to see that the creator of the universe, the governor of all nations, be called upon, that we would seek his counsel. And somehow or another, a couple hundred years later, we're telling folks that the Constitution prevents individuals from praying. It's completely absurd. It's completely ridiculous. These men did not create a document that would then limit their freedoms. What we see in the Bill of Rights is a limitation of government. Government, you can't do this. Government, you can't do this. Government, you can't do this. It is a list of, if you will, negative rights. It says, government, you're restricted. You're prohibited. You can't go any further than this. And the 10th Amendment makes clear that if the rights are not definitively, or the duties are not definitively defined within the Constitution, they're reserved to the states and the people, but still our constitutional protections survive. Literally through the 14th, they're applicable all the way down to the local level. You can't say, well, the state decided it wanted to tread on my religious rights. No, the state can't do it either. The state Absolutely. Cannot do it either. And it blows my mind as well, because you're speaking with a lot of pastors right now. You'll have pastors and teachers tuning in today, and they're wondering, why in the world does a preacher just get so hung up on this? Why don't we just kind of roll over? Well, I got news for you, pastors, preachers, and I've told this story over and over and over, that John Muhlenberg was a pastor during the Revolution. He stood in the pulpit. He preached from Ecclesiastes 3, you know, a time for this and a time for that, a time to live, time to die, a time to laugh, time to cry. And he says, and there's a time for war. He stepped out of the pulpit, shed his clerical robe, and showed his continental soldier's uniform underneath it. He says, who will join me? He had pronounced the atrocities of King George, all the ways that King George had tread upon the liberties of the colonists. And you know what? The next day, 300 people from his community joined him in the battle. But his brother was also a preacher. Frederick Muhlenberg, John Muhlenberg's brother, was a preacher. Look this up, folks. Frederick Muhlenberg said to his brother, you've stepped outside the bounds. You're stepping outside your calling. God called you to preach. You should not engage in this revolution. You shouldn't engage in politics. Preachers, teachers, how many times have you heard that garbage? How many times have you said it to your congregation? How many times have you heard it from your brother or sister in Christ? Oh, y'all shouldn't play with politics. I got news for you. Frederick Muhlenberg's opinion changed when the Brits rolled in and burned his church to the ground. Frederick Muhlenberg's mind was changed. He engaged in the revolution. Frederick Muhlenberg's mind was changed. He was the first signatory to the Bill of Rights. And do you know what the very first words are? The very first words are, Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. I wonder why he was first in line to sign that. And he was a preacher, folks. He was a preacher.
Amen. One of the things that we find today, Ronald Reagan said it, and I've repeated it many times, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on from them to do the same. And that is what we're not doing. But, Greg, one of the things that I want our listeners to understand today, and we're talking about the coronavirus, the Constitution, and prophecy, and one of the things that ties so inextricably with prophecy is what I call the scary look the inside of Bill Gates. I'm looking at a massive article. Time won't allow me to even scan it for our listeners. It says, a scary look inside Bill Gates' dark agenda. More relevant, the issue is he's using the ongoing COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic to push years of his personal agenda and goal. And that agenda and goal, for our listeners' understanding, is to force vaccinations on every human being on the face of the globe. It's what's called universal vaccinations. And now we have, Greg, and our listeners may be aware of it, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and coming out of Bill Gates. They're pushing for universal test that every human being in America needs to be tested. And in that test, it will determine if you are free of the virus or if you are immune to the virus. And then, Greg, the apex of that is if you are immune, that you can get an immunization card, i.e. chip, some type identification that will say you can go to work, that you can open your shop, that you can open your restaurant, that you can open your church, that you can talk with someone, that you can come into contact with human beings, that you're safe. In fact, here's an article that says, I can no longer say that Bill Gates planned global vaccinations and the ID 2020 digital identification are not the mark of the beast, one writer says. Yes, it is possible on many levels, highly likely that the proposed global vaccinations combined with the ID 2020 identification, a digital identification, can be forced upon all human beings in the world. And that's what we see taking place. And many are not aware of Bill Gates and his global agenda. But I can say to our listeners today, and I'm looking at a massive document. For example, Bill Gates, over the decades of what he's done, he's a globalist, he's a eugenist, he says that we need to reduce the number of people on the face of the globe by 100 million people, therefore we can save planet Earth. And he's gone into nation after nation after nation, and he's done so on the basis that he was going to provide some kind of vaccine to protect. Here's one, for example, in 2014 in Kenya, the World Health Organization chemically sterilized the Kenyan women without their knowledge or consent. This was done under the guise of administering a tetanus vaccine. By the way, that was done by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then in Nigeria, Kenya, and other places, they've gone in on the basis of giving a vaccine to prevent the spread of HIV and AIDS. And in doing so, they have literally chemically sterilized the women in each of those nations. The United States, for example, no longer uses the oral polio vaccine since 2000, but one in every 2.4 million. The Center of Disease Control said prevention says the risk of paralysis or death is just too high. But yet, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation went in, and they've been administering that same vaccine, and they've given it 50 times. It's in India. Says instead of five times the OPV, children in India were given 50 times the amount. The statement also mentioned door-to-door immunizations in India. It's just another way of saying forced vaccinations. And it goes on to talk about Indian government's now got a suit against the Bill Gates Foundation because of the death of thousands of people that was as a result of the vaccine that was given. But Greg, speak to the issue for our listeners about a future coming global vaccine and having in it the ID, and it's the ID chip is by a dye-colored material. It's not the old chip the size of a grain of rice. Speak to that issue for our listeners to understand where we're going theologically, doctrinally, and prophetically with this.
Actually, this is where it gets very exciting for the believer. You know, if you step back in time, and I believe Job is supposed to be the oldest written work within the Scripture. Job, those thousands of years before Christ, said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And guess what, folks? That day is coming. It's coming so quick. For the believer, these things, as much as I reject the New World Order, as much as I reject, and I'm going to, we'll, if we see the early signs of it, you know, we ought to reject those things that look like they'll be the mark of the beast. They're part of the anti-end. However, we ought to, as believers, be excited because we're seeing things being rolled out that really look like the rollout of eschatological events, of end times events. So we have a lot to be excited about, but we ought to be faithful in sharing the Great Commission, sharing the love of Jesus Christ, sharing Jesus Christ as the redemption for the entire world if we'll but accept him, if we'll but believe. The world needs to have the warning bell, the trumpet blown so that they hear, so that they understand what's at stake, what's at risk today. These things, you know, I have no animosity against Bill Gates. I think he's had a lot of dirty deeds. But the reality is, I mean, the man's probably lost. The man probably has no earthly idea. He is a tool. As much as he is a gazillionaire, he's a tool. He is a tool. And this stuff, and folks are saying that he funded this lab over in Wuhan. I think that's a possibility. He's got billions of dollars flowing in and flowing out dealing with vaccines. So it may be just a money and a power thing to him, but he's still a tool by a power that's greater than him. He's, you know, the prince, the power of the air is still, you know, moving and shaking, if you will. And as much as Satan intends destruction, God intends redemption for the believer, for those.
And what I want our listeners to understand is it's the foreshadowing of that man of sin, the one that's called the lawless one, the Antichrist. When he steps on the scene, the scripture says that he's going to blaspheme the place, the person of God. He's going to blaspheme the place of God. He's going to blaspheme the people of God, and that's the church. That is, he's going to be wicked, evil, and demonstrably against anything that's spiritual, against anything that's godly. And then the end result, Greg, and you're familiar with this, and I want our listeners to be reminded of it, the end result, the Antichrist in the future, and that's after the church is raptured out. We won't be here, but those that are, and that some that shall get saved, i.e. the Jewish people in particular, then they're going to be required to accept the identification mark. The identification mark, it's called the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, be required to be able to buy, to sell, to live and do anything. So what that Bill Gates and others are saying now is that we cannot, in fact, Bill Gates says life cannot go back to normal until the entire population is vaccinated. They're saying, let's keep everything shut down until we get everybody vaccinated, inoculated. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Gates is saying before you can open your business, before you can open your church, before you can sell again, before you can buy again, you need to be vaccinated. You need to receive the mark. You need to receive the identification that says you're okay. You are immune, and so therefore you can go back to work as normal. You can open your business. You can run your business. You can open your church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the foreshadowing of what's going to happen after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is suddenly seen snatched out of this old world. It is a sad, sad scenario. Here's an article that says, shut down the country, develop a vaccine, the digital IT. That's what the New World Order and the eugenist Bill Gates says that America must do in order to beat the coronavirus. He's saying the only way to win this coronavirus war is to be vaccinated. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issue.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.